Wonderful. It's been a blessing, and we praise God for what He has done in your life. We thank God for the opportunity to be able to celebrate with you. It is a day of Thanksgiving. When Dennis and I were talking, we acknowledge that it's a day of Thanksgiving, but I also want to say that it is a day where we celebrate Thanksgiving. These guys have lived testimony for many people, and we really appreciate what they've done, who they are, and what they bring. Dennis was saying to me that we'll try and finish by 12:30. I said, I believe in miracles, but not this one. I'm gonna do my best. You gave me 20 minutes. I'm gonna try and finish in 10. I believe in miracles. If I don't, forgive me. The word that I have for you, hi David, good to see you. The word that I have for you this afternoon is a very simple one, but I believe the Lord spoke to me, given on this occasion. And the word is godly endurance. Godly endurance. If you turn your Bible very briefly with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 say, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, the word endurance means the ability or strength to continue and to finish, and finish well, despite the fatigue, the stress, or any adverse conditions that may come against you. And in this scripture, the writer talks about those who've gone before in Hebrews 11 and how they're witnesses to us. But we have live witnesses in our generation. As we look at both of you, we can count you as modern day witnesses who are cheering us on. Because by looking at your lives, listening to your testimony, how real you are, and what you go through, and how God enables you to handle it, it brings a ripple effect of encouragement to all of us, doesn't it? And so we are so encouraged, guys. We are so blessed to be associated with you. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, reading from verse 3 to 4, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. And the Bible says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. I'll be speaking about them to them, but to us all. Because what happens is, God's desire for each one of us is that we learn to go through the things that come against us. I mean, we'd all wish that we didn't have to go through anything. We just go around it, under it, over it, or whatever way. But the reason why God allows us to go through those situations is because that's how He develops our character in Him. Hello? When you haven't been through, you often crumble under pressure. But what God does is that He takes us on this journey of faith, as He's taken all of the patriarchs before us, and men and women of God, and allows what I call divine disruptions. You ever heard of a divine disruption? Divine disruptions and delays to come our way from time to time. And the reason is that they're meant to focus our attention on Him. And the scripture said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. It is only Jesus who can take you through, build you up, and bring you to the purpose of God in this life. Amen? And that's what God wants. God wants people who are going through with Him, acknowledging that endurance is part of the process. Who wants to go and watch a race that people don't finish? Who wants to pay for a match that doesn't end? We want to see people do it. Now, some of you may have heard of this. In 1968 Olympic Games, they had the marathon. It was 29, 26 miles. And during the course of the marathon, there was a guy from Tanzania, Stephen was his name, and halfway through, he was pushed and he fell down just the peak of the shoulder and his knee, and people thought that that was it for him. Stephen Akweri was his name. Well, when the race was over, there was no Stephen to be found. Later in the evening, as they were awarding ceremonies to other medals, people in the stadium started to clap. Because suddenly, from the dark came a man hobbling. It was Stephen. And so they kind of took the attention, the cameras panned away from the ceremony to this guy who came into the stadium, and people rose to their feet and began to clap. Because this man, 3.5 hours later, was still running. Well, let's say he was hobbling. And so when it was over, they put a tape across, he ran across it. The cameras, people, somebody said to him, but why didn't you stop? You're bleeding, you're damaged. He said, my country did not send me here 5,000 miles to stop. They sent me to finish. You know, most people don't remember who won the race. We all remember the guy who finished. There's a stadium named after him in East Africa. The streets named after him because he finished. Are you hearing me? I don't know who won the race, but I know the one who finished. And heaven is saying, it's not about the winning, it's about the finishing. Because if you finish, you win. There's a crown waiting for you when you finish. For the race is not to the swift, and the fight is not to the strong, but it is to the one who finishes. God has called us to be overcomers. You need something to overcome. And to overcome, you need a spirit of endurance. And the spirit of endurance will bring to you godly character. Because our Savior finished, and we could be redeemed. I got 4 minutes out of my 10. When we learn that God's purpose in endurance is that we learn from Him. In endurance, you learn to rest in God. Because when there are divine disruptions, you learn how helpless you really are without God. Anybody been there? You learn how helpless you are without God. But what happens is you understand the principle of the kingdom is take your eyes off yourself, take your eyes off your neighbor, take your eyes off your situation, and put your eyes on Jesus. That's how we finish. He's your example. We're not doing this for human accolades. We're doing this for heavenly recognition. And it's only God who's going to reward you when He finishes with you. Why? Because He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Whatever you're going through, God is with you in it. And God is doing something. I'm going to turn very quickly to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 26 to make my point. In Genesis 26, we have the story of Isaac, the son of Abraham. A man who walked with God. You know, Isaac is not very much celebrated when you talk about a patriarch. We talk a lot about Abraham, we talk a lot about Jacob. Jacob was a guy. You know, he was a guy. But Isaac is often very just mentioned. But we need to remember he was the miracle child. The one that God promised Abraham. Well, when Isaac grew up, in chapter 26, his father was dead. And the Bible said there was a famine in the land. Beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to the king of the Philistines, Abimelech. Now the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I am telling you. And dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you, for to you and your descendants I give these lands, and I'll perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. Verse 6 says, so Isaac dwelt in the land. Now I want you to give the scenario very quickly. It's a time of famine. It's a time of difficulty. Most of us run out of difficulty. We run away from difficult situations. But God said to Isaac, dwell in the midst of the famine. That's where you're going to understand something about the God you serve. How many of you know that it's wonderful and it's easy to lift up your hands and wave them like you just don't care in church? But
when you're faced with a crisis where you don't have church around you, then you need to know whose you are and who's with you. The one who said in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Our God is a miracle-working God, but you won't see miracles when you don't endure. If you're looking for shortcuts, you don't see miracles. When you allow God to divinely disrupt your life and take you through the path that he has ordained, that's when you get to know that our God reigns. 2 weeks ago today, there was a brother in our service, he's been with us many years. I was talking to him in the service. 2 days later, I was in the office when I had a phone call that it collapsed. And paramedics, just around the corner from here by King's College, paramedics had come to the house and his heart had stopped. He was dead. And they are trying to revive him. When I heard the call, the Lord said, go there. So I drove straight down, came to this. And as I was coming, the paramedics had been working on him for almost an hour. His heart wasn't responding. So they decided to take him into the hospital and just wrap up, really. But as I was leaving the office, I sent a message out to the fellowship and I said, guys, pray. Let's pray for a miracle. Okay, the paramedics said, pray for a miracle. When I got to the hospital, it was at the ambulance entrance of King's College. You can't go in. I said, Lord, I know you told me to come here. There are obstacles. Would you make a way for me? I saw a lady passing. I said, ma'am, are you stopped? I was outside on the street. She said, yes. I said, I need to get into that place. She said, why? I said, because somebody, I passed somebody and he's hard and stuff. They go to me. She said, follow me. I'll see what I can do. She got me in there. And then they found out, who are you? I said, I'm his pastor. They said, well, okay, you go to the rent room and wait. And I was sitting there. They said, we'll come and talk to you in 30 minutes. Almost 3 hours. You need to learn godly endurance. When God gives you space to endure, God gives you space for a miracle. What did I do in 3 hours? I didn't go, oh God, I began to pray. I said, God, would you give us a miracle? Would you do something? I kept getting phone calls from my wife. Have you heard anything? I said, no, but I know God is on the case. I heard them say, calling for porters to come and take away bodies or whatever's happening. You hear all these and the devil say, he's dead. In fact, a lot of people in church said they just thought he was dead, that he's a Christian, let him go. But I just sat there and I prayed and I read the word of God. And after about almost 3 hours, the doctor came in and asked the person in there to leave so that she could talk to me. And said, we have managed to revive him. But folks, when you walk in God, but don't make no difference. She said, his heart was stopped so long that if he makes it, he'll probably be brain damaged. He's in the critical care unit. You can go and see him tomorrow, whatever. He's in a coma, induced coma. But, you know, I said, okay, I just listen. And I left praising God. The next day I phoned the critical care unit. They said, he's in a coma. He's being cared for. And the nurse said to me, but you know, even if he comes out, he'll be brain damaged. And I said, no, I don't know that. When you endure, you don't know what man says. I'm going to tell you something. When you go through a challenge of divine disruption, men can only give you information. It's God who gives you a solution. Men give you information. The doctor tells you what is wrong, but it is God who solves what is wrong. So the first day I phoned, they said, he's in a coma. He can crawl again tomorrow. I phoned the second day. And I said, how is it doing? They said, he's out of a coma. And I said, and she said to me, I said, wow, she said, it's a miracle. I said, she said, would you like to talk to him? Talk to him. I said, yes. So she said, she called us in and said, would you like to talk? It's your pastor. And I had him say, yes, I want to talk to the pastor. And we had the most sane conversation that a man who was supposedly brain dead could ever have. There was nothing wrong with him. He's out of critical care, he's a general ward, and he's coming home soon. And in that place, God said to me, remember, I give godly endurance to form godly character that trusts me and knows that I am that I am, and I will never leave your life.
people of opinion is going to have the truth. The doctor is welcome to his medical opinion because he trained for opinions.
But God's word is truth.
He stayed in the land, and the Bible says that because he had cattle, they had to
dig wells because the Philistines had stopped the wells that his father had dug before. So he got his men to dig wells, and the first well they dug, as they began to rejoice, guess what? The people of that land came and said, excuse me, that belongs to us. You are digging on our land.
Say what? Didn't you see us digging?
They did.
You know, there are times when, as you're going through stuff and God is training you, you get what seems like a breakthrough, only to find out that it's a breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens, the enemy comes in, and then what seems like a breakthrough, he tries to upset it. But I have something to say to you. Never forget this. In God, a hard place is a good place. I'll say it again. In God, a hard place is a good place. Why? Because he says he works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So it might be a hard place you're in, but you don't lift up your hands and say, God is my strength. God is my song. And God is my victory. So in him, a hard place will become a good place. They came and they said, this belongs to us. And he called the place Esek. That means that there was a place of quarrel. In your disruptions, there will be quarrels against designed to detour you away from God's presence and God's fellowship. They dug another well. And the people came again and said, this one too belongs to us. And they call it Sitna, which means enmity. Folks, God allows you to live in a hostile environment so that you can thrive for his glory. Are you hearing me? Don't be afraid of hostile environments. Lift up your eyes to the one who is with you. And they dug another well. And this time nobody came. And nobody came to take away. They call it Rehoboth, which means God has made room for us to prosper. When you learn God the endurance, God makes room for you to prosper. Not only to prosper, to become a testimony. Why? Because after that, the king came to him. Go read chapter 26. And came and said, now we see that you are the blessed of the Lord. It's when you've gone through that people know whom you have believed. Anybody can talk in church. Anybody can lift their hands, I said, and wave them like they just don't care and praise the Lord. But when you have to go through, that's when you have a testimony. So we see that God is with you. We want to make a covenant with you. I want to say to you, Dennis and Lord, that God is with you. You've come through 38 years, but there's more to come. God the endurance, God the character. Anytime you hit a bump, remember, a hard place with God is a good place in God. And your life will always be a ripple effect. And people say, we know you're the blessed of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, may you also remember that in your journey. And may God strengthen you for those times of divine disruptions. And always remember that with God, a hard place is a good place. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope it blessed you. And if it did, please like, comment, and subscribe for more videos from Micah. And don't forget to click the notification bell to see when they're uploaded. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you in the next one.